Hello, and welcome to another episode of the RCVS podcast. I'm Anna Feeney, a member of the communications team here at the college, and today we'll be talking to Dr. Louise Freeman, co-chair of the Doctor Support Network, about the And Me campaign. This mental health campaign was launched in January 2017 by the Doctor Support Network and our own mental health initiative, Mind Matters, to showcase the stories of successful medical professionals who had experienced ill mental health and hopefully encourage those who are struggling to seek help. Thank you so much for joining us, Louise.
Thank you for asking.
Of course. So can you please just give us a bit of the background around this campaign? What initially made you think of running it?
Well, the Doctor Support Network was asked to contribute to the Medical Minds Matter sort of cross-professional event, which was held at the Maudsley a couple of years ago. And I went and did a talk about my own experience of ill health and also spoke about the Doctor Support Network. And it was, I hadn't actually been to anything before that had been across, because that was sort of vets, pharmacists, dentists and doctors. And one of my, actually, unfortunately, one of my main learning points from that was that doctors seem to be way more screwed up about their own mental health than any of the other professions, which is actually quite scary because we have to look after everybody else. And it was a really interesting day. And on the way home, I was just literally waiting for the tube. And I thought, you know what we need to do? So we need to get some people that are at the top of their relative professions that have had mental ill health issues, that are now okay, you know, that are professionally secure, that kind of, you know, if maybe somebody is, you know, not so keen on their work, that, you know, them coming out as having had a mental health issue, it wouldn't be a career problem for them. Just to talk, you know, in broad terms, being there myself, because the medical schools I know are doing a lot of really great work with medical students about how important it is to look after yourself. So you've got your junior doctors coming up, being more trained in kind of well-being issues. But to really change culture, I think you have to actually do it from both ends. Because if you just do it from getting the juniors to change, then it's going to take a really, really long time.
And how have you found the response to be to the campaign when people do say, this has happened to me and I'm still successful within my field? What kind of response has that got?
I think a universally positive response. Mm-hmm. So this is quite a small campaign because we're very, very careful about who is put forward to be an And Me volunteer. Sometimes when you're poorly, when you're getting better, I think many of us have been through this, and this feeling as if you're kind of desperate to talk about it and you've got all this learning from it and you want to help other people and help your colleagues. And actually, quite often there are points when almost like your friends and your colleagues should go, well, maybe not quite at the moment, you know. So I think this happens quite often. And so we haven't had a lot of volunteers, but people that we have put forwards, we've tried as hard as we possibly could to minimise any personal or professional risk to them from talking more openly about their mental health. Mm. Several of the people who've volunteered have already been quite open in a work situation, maybe talking to one or two people, or supporting trainees along the lines of, you know, being there myself. So I think quite often it's been just bringing that to a bigger audience, but then nailing it down and writing it down, putting it online, it's a different thing. Mm. So we always sort of take the view that kind of less is more with this campaign. And how much detail different volunteers give is really variable. No. So I think, yes, we've had a really positive response. I have been in particular so pleased with how it's gone down with the vet community.
Yeah, we've seen some really wonderful responses, haven't we, to everyone from colleagues to students. In one case, we had a professor come forward, and it was wonderful to see everyone having universally positive responses. That's really, really good to see. You know, why do you think it actually is that medical professionals do find it so hard to seek help or ask for help when they have an ill mental health?
I think there's a lot of different reasons for that. I think all health professionals have invested a lot of time and effort in getting to the professional situation that they've achieved. And a lot of that has been by, you know, very hard work and concentration. And also a certain kind of, I think we all quite like to do that kind of, oh yes, it's very stressful. And we like feeling quite proud about that. So we know that, but we also believe that everybody else is fine. So even if you might know yourself, actually, you know, I'm really not fine at the moment, you do believe that everybody else is okay and everybody else can handle it. And that is a big barrier to health professionals seeking help. Something that can happen for doctors, and I don't know whether this is so much of an issue for vets because of a slightly different situation, is that sometimes it can be quite difficult for doctors to almost get the right response from the healthcare professionals that they try and get help from, because there can be a bit of this kind of doctor heal thyself.
So it's presumed that people already have the knowledge of how to help.
Well, what do you want me to do about it? Wouldn't you know? Sort of approach. So you can imagine if somebody has that kind of response at exactly the wrong moment, you could sort of think, well, I'm just not going to ask now. I obviously have to go away and sort all of this out myself, which is not a safe situation for anybody, whether a healthcare professional or not. I think there are health situations for all of us, whether physical or mental health, that we need to get help from other people. You know, and that's just being a normal person.
Yes.
Effectively.
Yeah. And where do you think this starts? Do you think it's something that it starts even at university level, in where people are training? Or is it later on in their career?
Well, I do selection for my local medical school, and as far as I can tell, the people that I'm selecting do seem perfectly normal. So I think we do something to them at medical school, and then by the time they come out of as trainee doctors, they've got all of this thinking, if you're not careful, about I have to be, you know, perfect. I have to know everything. I have to be able to deal with every potential stressor. I'm not allowed to be sick. I mean, how we equate with, you know, if we're a doctor and we get cancer, or if we have something like a heart attack, do we beat ourselves up in the same way as if we get depressed? Possibly not quite.
A very different reaction a lot of the time.
Yes.
So it's really something that can come down to practical policies at university and then at practices afterwards that can really intervene and help, I think.
And I do think a lot of the issue is the role modelling, though, and which is why I thought of the and me to start with, and the name, which also came to me on this train platform. Because I just sort of thought, in order for people coming up through the system as trainee healthcare professionals to actually value looking after their own well-being, they should be able to see the senior professionals also doing that.
So it's about saying this has happened to me, but also this may again happen to me, and it's ongoing.
Could be any of us.
Yes.
And I haven't completely read the full essay yet, but I came across this quote the other day by Susan Sontag, that when we're born, we're all issued with two passports, one for the kingdom of the well and one for the kingdom of the sick. And we all like to only use the good passport, but there will be times in our life when all of us have to use the less preferred one. And that was actually written about cancer, but it actually fits really, really well for this situation.
Yeah, so knowing who to turn to when you have to use that passport is real trickiness. Yeah, so where do you see the future of the campaign going? It has celebrated its first anniversary just a month ago, and it's continuing.
Well, we've actually had quite a few volunteers, potential volunteers, come forward recently. So What I would anticipate is, given the amount of focus there is generally around mental health, I mean, not just for healthcare professionals, I would see it as something that you could actually just carry on with, because it's quite small scale. You don't need to be putting a new story out every week or whatever. And I think I'm really happy with it, how it's gone, because of course, you know, when you have an idea, you don't know how it's going to turn out. And a fairly common response to start with from the people that I said, we should do this thing, you know, this will change the world, was, it's going to be very hard to get people to volunteer to do this. And it kind of is. I mean, there's 270,000 doctors registered in the UK. And, you know, there's the BMAT statistic of sort of one in four people, I think in any one year, will have a mental health issue. So there should be lots and lots of doctors that have had some experience. But we haven't got an inbox full of emails from, you know, a quarter of the doctor population. So, no, I think it could just carry on in a low-key way, and people might come forwards at a time when it's right for them, whereas maybe when the campaign started, or when we'd first started discussing it, you know, with the college, maybe that wouldn't have been the right time for them, because people have to do this at the point that everything is kind of stable enough for them to do it. You know, if they're just going through some really sort of stressful professional situation, that is not the time.
Because this might add to the stress.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, hopefully it won't, but, you know, because this is optional, you know, this is not something that people have to do in the course of their job. So the last thing that the Doctors Support Network or the college would want would be for this to cause somebody a problem that maybe we should have foreseen.
Right, and we're actually doing a live session, aren't we, at BSABA Congress coming up. Can you tell us a bit more about what that will involve?
I think we will have a sort of chaired panel of vet and medical volunteers from the campaign, and there will be sort of discussion around people's experience and the opportunity for people to ask questions. And this is a new thing for us to do. So obviously we've done this in quite a very prepared way. I mean, the launch, you know, we each prepared what we were going to say, and the volunteers that we've had since then, it's been a sort of written text and a photo that we've put on social media. So this is a really different thing. But I think it has a lot of potential about really just sort of normalising it and sort of saying, this is what happens to people, it's fine.
That's wonderful. Know. Yeah, thank you so much for talking to us about it. If anybody listening would like to have a look at some of these stories, you can search for the hashtag ANDME on Twitter and see some of the fantastic stories that have come out from these people who are talking about their own experiences with ill mental health. So thank you very much for listening.